This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. New unseen evidence unsealed in a 165-page filing in the federal election case against Donald Trump.
The filing shedding new light on this moment during the attack on the Capitol when Vice President Mike Pence was taken to a secure location by the Secret Service. Trump was informed by a White House staffer who hoped the defendant would take action to ensure Pence's safety. Instead, Trump allegedly looked at him and said only, "So what?" Trump pleaded not guilty to all charges brought by Smith. The former president's campaign bashing the filing as election interference. Perry Russum, ABC News, Washington.
The election just over a month away. Israel hitting an apartment in central Beirut. Officials say 7 Hezbollah-affiliated civilian first responders were killed. The strike coming after at least 8 IDF soldiers were killed in clashes with Hezbollah fighters in southern Lebanon. Helene is now the deadliest hurricane to hit the continental U.S. since Katrina. The death toll nearing 200 people in 6 states. Still more than a million power outages. This is ABC News. Bank of America is apologizing after some sort of problem left people across the country seeing all zeros when they looked up their bank account balances. Officials at the bank say the issues have largely been resolved, but so far they aren't saying what happened. New trouble from an old bomb.
It was a 500-pound bomb dropped by the U.S. in WW2 embedded in the ground that suddenly blew up Wednesday at Miyazaki Airport in southwestern Japan. A video recorded by a nearby aviation school showed the blast spewing pieces of asphalt into the air like a fountain. It left a large crater in a taxiway. It forced the cancellation of more than 80 flights, but no injuries, say Japanese officials. No aircraft were nearby. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Runners at a half marathon in Canada suddenly getting some unexpected competition. A goat broke out of a pumpkin patch in a Conception Bay South and decided to join the race. When Joshua the goat finished, organizers made sure that they got a medal. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Kamala Harris on police.
It is outdated. It is wrong-headed thinking to think that the only way you're going to get communities to be safe is to put more police officers on the street.
Communities safer without police? Oh, but there's more.
For far too long, the status quo thinking has been to believe that by putting more police on the street, you're going to have more safety. And that's just wrong.
Catch that? Kamala Harris is a defund the police Democrat. And Rebecca Cook, she fits right in. She's made a career out of it. A professional political operative trusted to elect anti-law enforcement politicians across the country. Rebecca Cook even led a dark money group that supported Mandela Barnes and his defund the police agenda. That's why the Liberal Democrats handpicked her. Now Cook is bankrolled by the liberal elite to help win back the House. They trust her because Rebecca Cook is a defund the police Democrat.
I'm Derek Van Orden, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the NRCC and Van Orden for Congress.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Kamala Harris is holding on to a 4-point lead over Donald Trump in Wisconsin in the latest Marquette Law School poll. She leads 52% to 48% with both registered and likely voters. The margin of error is 4.4%. In the U.S. Senate race, Tammy Baldwin leads Eric Hovde by 7 points, also with registered and likely voters alike. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is asking people not to burn leaves and brush this week. Brittany Merlot explains why.
There's an increased chance of fire danger this week due to the dry weather, gusty winds, and dry vegetation, all ahead of a strong cold front. Burning brush and leaf piles is the number one cause of wildfires in Wisconsin. I'm Brittany Merlot.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Swings and drives one out towards right center. Taylor back, and it's gone! Mitchell, a 2-run homer, and the Brewers have the lead. It's 5-3.
That's what it sounded like on ESPN Radio as the Brewers beat the Mets 5-3 last night. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Today will be Game 3 of the Wild Card Series between the Brewers and the Mets. Jackson Chourio hit 2 home runs, and Garrett Mitchell hit a go-ahead 2-run blast to move the Brewers in front in the win. Willy Adames was impressed by Chourio's performance.
I mean, insane. I mean, I feel like he's done some, you know, he hit some clutch hits, you know, throughout the year. But I know for him that felt amazing, and for the team felt unbelievable. That changed the whole game right there, and he gave us an opportunity to play game three tomorrow.
First pitch tonight is after 6 p.m. If the Brewers win, they'll play the Phillies on Saturday and Sunday to start the NLDS. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 73 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly clear, 44. Tomorrow, sunshine, 71 on Saturday. Summertime returns with sunshine and a high near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, it's our Popcorn Pick of the Week, brought to you by Poppin' Z's Popcorn. And I'm joined by Milwaukee filmmaker Ezekiel Drews and Festival Theater's Jesse March.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. This is the talk of lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, October 3rd, 2024. 33 days till Election Day, and another beautiful morning to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, on the Civic Media app, on demand by podcast, or through social media. Thanks for starting your day right here. I've got a question for you. Can you believe this team? I've got my Brewers little fleece hoodie on today. Greg Bach is here in Waukesha. He's got his Brewers t-shirt on. It's almost if he knew what we were going to be talking about to start off the hour here at 6:07 on this Thursday morning. Mr. Bach, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. It's a beautiful day for clock baseball.
And now my big confession. Yeah. I could not stay awake for it. I couldn't. We were down whatever it was, 3-2.
Yeah.
It was like the fifth inning. I'd seen, you know, a couple of miscues again on the field, and I was just like, I'm so tired. I'll just have to wait. Well, now I've been awake for a couple of hours because I woke up in the middle of the night, as men my age do, went and looked at the score, had to look at the highlights, watched the highlights over and over again, and couldn't get back to sleep as your Milwaukee Brewers have forced a deciding third game in the wildcard round, coming from behind to beat the New York Mets 5-3 last night. And they did it on home runs by Jackson Churio and Garrett Mitchell. I'm still breathless, and I didn't even watch it live. I've watched the highlights 10 times, and I'm still just so giddy about it all. Were you awake for this?
I was very awake for it. Although I was only able to follow it on my phone on Google, so I just kept checking the score. And I was like, oh, come on, guys, just please. And then I saw, I'm like, all right, 3-2. All right, guys, here we go. Here, and then I look again, I see 5-3. I'm like, don't screw this up.
and they didn't.
They didn't.
So let's see, which one do we have here? Okay, so let me set this up then. Let's see, the Milwaukee trailed 3-2 when Jackson Churio led off the eighth inning, homering to right center. The 20-year-old rookie had also opened the bottom of the first inning with a home run in right field. That made him the youngest player to hit a leadoff homer in the postseason. He's now only the second player to have a game-tying or go-ahead home run in a playoff game. The only other guy was a guy named Babe Ruth. All right, so that tied things up. Then Willie Adames got on base, and Garrett Mitchell stepped up to the plate.
He swings and drives one out towards right center. Taylor back, and it's gone! Mitchell, a two-run homer, and the Brewers have the lead. It's 5-3.
It was a 390-foot shot. The crowd, as they say, went wild. Devin Williams retired the Mets in order in the ninth to earn the save. Joe Ross picked up the win in an inning and a third of scoreless relief. Milwaukee in the postseason in team history had been 0-26 when trailing going into the eighth inning. So I was not committing a crime necessarily by cashing out early. Yeah. I had statistics on my side, but this is why you watch the game. This is why you watch the whole thing. If you're able to, it forces a deciding third game, and that will be played tonight, 6 o'clock at American Family Field. So again, my condolences to folks who have to do the rush hour traffic thing in Milwaukee, but plan accordingly. Pre-game starts at 5:30. On Civic Media stations WRCE in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and WISS in Oshkosh. I'm spent. I'm already tired.
Oh, I am.
I've still got a whole day and a long drive ahead of me and listening to the game, and it's going to be so exciting if they win. If they don't, it'll be like, oh, they got our hopes up again. But at least we got a moment. And the nice thing for me personally, because let's make this about me. 2 years ago, when Garrett Mitchell first came up, and he was so hot for the first couple of games, and I thought, this is the kid. This is the future of the team. And then, of course, he got injured and missed parts of two seasons, I think it was. And meanwhile, we bring up Jackson Churio. Well, he, too, is looking like the future of the franchise. So Churio's got the two home runs. Garrett Mitchell's got the go-ahead home run. And you know, while we feel bad for Christian Yelich and his injuries, he sounds great in the booth. So, you know, hopefully he comes back. But if not, the kids are all right, yeah, as they say.
But let's hope for this game three. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm feeling really good. If we can make it past the wild card round, I have good positive vibes.
Oh, good. Okay. See, we need that. So yeah. I was very unhappy with the signal. We were watching on ESPN, and I don't know if it was like, you know, rain fade somewhere along the line or what, but it was cutting out quite a bit at points in the middle of the game, and it was getting very frustrating. But of course, what could I do? It's not like the old days where your dad would say, go hold the antenna and then hold your right arm up.
Yeah.
You know, nope, lift your left leg. We'll get a better picture that way. You're at the tender mercies of the satellite and cable companies at this point, unfortunately.
Well, don't worry. If you have a satellite now, the two satellite companies are going to become one satellite company. So all of the customer service will happen.
It will be so magical when you don't have competition anymore. Doesn't it always work out well that way?
Always.
It doesn't? No? Okay. Well, some folks are disagreeing with us here. Here's the bus stop weather at 6:13, just about. Lake Wissota here, we're at 47 degrees. Hayward's at 35 right now. Park Falls, 37. Wausau, 47. Green Bay's at 50. La Crosse is at 49. It's 45 in Rapids, 53 in Oshkosh, 54 in Madison. And Greg is sitting pretty. Oh, I'm sorry. Sitting pretty at 50 degrees in downtown. I knew there was a temperature to go along with that.
I'm pretty. Well.
You are. Now, even if we didn't have a Brewers playoff win to tell you about, this would still be a big show because we have Joe Z and Joe P. The Joe Z is Joe Zepecki, who will be joining us as always on Thursday mornings. The Joe P is Joe Pluff. He's a candidate for assembly, a former assembly rep from the Chippewa Valley. And we will have him at 7:06 talking about his race. Then at 7:30 is our Women Win Wisconsin segment with State Senate candidate Sarah Kayeski. So we'll have her along with Kate Duffy in our Women Win Wisconsin segment. And then Joe Pluff right before that. So I guess that's our Men Win Wisconsin segment, because we realize there's some boys running for office too. And we should probably talk to them, even though boys, you know, they smell and everything. But we got to talk to them now and then, right?
It's a new segment called Finally, Men Get a Win. Am
men
I right?
Finally get to talk, right, guys? so oppressed for so long. Jeez. No, even if we didn't have that, we would have big news to share with y'all. Maybe some folks saw this late last night. I don't know when the embargo was lifted, but imagine my surprise as I was heading to bed. I knew that Vice President Kamala Harris was heading somewhere near the Fox Valley or eastern Wisconsin, but they wait till the last minute now to give the exact location. And then we heard that the event was going to be in Ripon. Which are like, wow, that is some serious trolling there. Kamala Harris is going to go to the birthplace of the Republican Party to hold an event. And now, this morning, I see the cherry on top. She's appearing in Ripon, the birthplace of the Republican Party today, with Liz Cheney. Boom. Mic drop. Wow.
Oh, man.
Honestly, is James Carville working for this campaign? Because, I mean, that's as subversive as it gets. That's right out of the Carville school of punch him in the nose and then, you know, do it again.
Hey, wow. Kamala, wear your favorite Lincoln shirt.
and by the way, on the heels of that is a letter that has been signed by several current and former Republicans announcing their endorsement of Kamala Harris, elected and party officials from around Wisconsin who have released this letter. So that's our theme today from the Kamala Harris campaign, apparently, is that if you are Republican or, you know, once were a Republican, this is your year to stand up for democracy. This is the year to stand up for your country. And this is the year not just to sit this out, not just to write in some third party. Don't be a wimp like Paul Ryan. You know, actually cast that vote for Kamala Harris. Run up the margins, hopefully, and send a clear message to that guy who did not sleep well, I predict, because as if all of that weren't enough, there was the new filing.
Like Steve Jobs, like one more thing.
One more thing, Jack Smith filing, you know, these new papers explaining why Donald Trump should still stand trial for trying to, you know, stage a coup. And we'll get into that as well. But there's so much detail in there about what Donald Trump was doing. They now say they know, you know, exactly what he was doing on his phone that day when he was just watching TV for a couple of hours, you know, while the riot was going on January 6th, 2021. And so even now, with 33 days till the election, Jack Smith is making the point that no, there's not going to be a quiet period. We always hear about this quiet period, like, oh, you can't, you know, do something with the candidates while they're running for office. Well, I don't know. Maybe if there's things like, how's it described in the show? A little light treason in Arrested Development.
I may have engaged in a little light treason.
you don't get a pass on that just because Election Day is getting closer.
Yeah.
So
they wouldn't give a pass to Kamala if they found like she wore white after Labor Day. What a terrible American.
Well, and like it or not, former FBI Director James Comey set those wheels in motion when on, I think it was October 30th of 2016, had to release some letter about, you know, investigating Hillary Clinton or looking back into an investigation related to her emails. You know, that and several other factors came into play with Trump winning back in 2016. And so, look, in another era, there might have been this quiet period. But in another era, presidents didn't try to undo elections and try to stay in office after the voters fired them. So we'll no doubt be hearing more throughout the day today about the latest from Jack Smith, including one nugget about how when then President Trump was told that Vice President Mike Pence's life was in peril and he was being moved to a safe location, Trump replied with just simply two words: so what? Nice guy. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north. We're live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes, this man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
She is performing in Wisconsin. Charo, you might want to end up moving here because you're going to have that great of a time in Baraboo. Let me just ask you this. Do you like cheese?
I love the cheese. I'm going to be eating cheese for 24 hours. It's a great... Not really. You have a great reputation with the cheese. Wisconsin cheese is very, very famous.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your listening to the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Lindsey Buckingham has a big birthday, formerly of Fleetwood Mac. We'll have that and more in today's history lesson coming up in a half hour. Okay, another reminder, Brewers and Mets, wildcard game 3. The pregame is at 5:30. First pitch is at 6:08 tonight on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Oshkosh. On Saturday, the Badgers will be hosting Purdue, the football team. The pregame begins at 9 a.m. Saturday on WLAK in Amory, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, WRJN in Racine, Kenosha, and WRCE in Richland Center. Wait, there's more football, and that would be the Green Bay Packers in L.A. taking on the Rams. Pregame at 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon on WRJN in Racine, Kenosha, WRCO in Richland Center, and WCQM in Park Falls. Remember, Up North News, a separate entity from Civic Media, but we appreciate the partnership here every morning, and you can stay up to date on the unabashedly Wisconsin news we're putting together at Up North News by signing up for our daily newsletter. Head to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click subscribe up there in the top banner. Christina Laurie puts it together. We visit with her on Tuesdays. Today's edition talks about there are more bars or clubs in Wisconsin that are going either alcohol-free or offering a wider range of zero-proof cocktails. There is also a story on school speed limit zones, and why they matter and the lives that can be saved when you're doing 30 miles an hour versus 50 versus 20. When you look at the calculation, you see why it's so important to drive more carefully around the little ones. And also in today's newsletter, unpacking the news about housing plans. You heard a little bit about that in the debates this week, but also just the exact plans that each candidate is offering from Vice President Kamala Harris versus what I guess you'd call concepts of a plan from Donald Trump. We've got a little bit of it in our newsletter and then a link to the full article that, again, you'll find on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. And I'm going to mention it in passing here, but I'm certainly going to have more to say about it with Mark Jacob tomorrow morning. Was watching NBC Nightly News last night, and they had a story about each candidate's housing plans. And in every other piece of coverage I've ever seen, they include a very key part of Donald Trump's quote-unquote housing plan. And it's and J.D. Vance mentioned it in the debate, that if you can deport millions upon millions of immigrants, that will free up housing stock, as if, you know, some undocumented migrant who is, you know, working in a barn, you know, 20 hours a day, is the thing standing between you and a 3-bedroom, 2-bath up here on Little Lake Wissota. But that's part of the plan is, and they've stated this, that if they can deport millions of people out of this country, it will free up housing stock. The NBC piece didn't mention that at all. At all, to say that that's a central part of Trump's housing plan. Maybe because if they did, they'd also have to fact check the notion that if you pull millions of people out of the American economy, it's going to lead to even more of a labor shortage and it's going to lead to inflation. But all of that was missing. So if you want to learn more about the candidates' housing plans, again, head to upnorthnewswi.com. And maybe not NBC Nightly News. We'll be talking to Mark Jacob more about that tomorrow. So I'm looking at Lawrence Andrea's article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, just pulled that up about Liz Cheney stopping in Ripon today with Vice President Kamala Harris about this. And the article reminds me that Liz Cheney was actually born in Madison and, of course, was ousted as chair of the House Republican Conference over her criticism of Trump. And I can't imagine in many people's lives anything more awkward than taking the lead on something that seems obvious and then looking behind you and seeing that you don't have as many people following you as you thought. And so whether it's Liz Cheney or Adam Kinzinger or even Kathy Bernier here in Wisconsin when she was still in the state Senate, and looking at what happened on January 6th, and saying, that's it, that's enough, this guy's got to go. And you turn around, and instead of your party behind you cheering, they've got torches and pitchforks, and they're coming after you. That's got to be rather disappointing, to say the least. But Liz Cheney has remained defiant. She said in announcing her endorsement of Kamala Harris last month, as a conservative, as someone who believes in and cares about the Constitution, I have thought deeply about this. Because of the danger Donald Trump poses, not only am I not voting for Donald Trump, but I will be voting for Kamala Harris. So they will be appearing and acknowledging the Little White Schoolhouse in Ripon, where the Republican Party was founded in 1854. Back then, as what they hoped would be a beacon of common sense amidst all of those who continued to support slavery in the run-up to the Civil War. And now they're hoping to send essentially a note that that little white schoolhouse can again become a beacon of common sense for folks who had been or are Republicans but want something better from their party. A little bit more about Jack Smith and his new filing here, new evidence that has been released. Judge Tanya Chutkan made public some of the filing by prosecutors. What they're trying to do here is they have to make the case why Donald Trump should go on trial for staging a coup. This shouldn't be necessary because, well, A, it's obvious, but B, you didn't have anything, any kind of legal precedent that would say otherwise until the conservative justices on the U.S. Supreme Court made up something and said that, well, you know, presidents have immunity for official acts. Even official acts that involve the U.S. Department of Justice, which, as I've said before, basically means what Nixon did during Watergate would be legal. Because, as Nixon himself said, when the president does it, it's not illegal, which makes no sense. It defies all logic about a working democracy. So it had to come back to Judge Chutkan and to Special Counsel Jack Smith to pull out the things that could reasonably be construed as things that Trump did as official acts, and then make the case that everything else in there that Trump tried was as a private citizen, was as a candidate for president who was looking to break the law in order to overturn the results. Now, this thing still has a long way to go. There will no doubt be more appeals, but at least the progress continues. That we're not letting up on making the case why something like this should never happen again in this country. Joe Zepecki, we talk about the Marquette poll after this. You're up north.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
This is your local civic media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Boy, it's not just Wisconsin dairy operators that are paying attention to the revisions of federal milk marketing orders. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. President of the American Farm Bureau Federation is paying attention as well, and you might be surprised how engaged he is in the process. Details on the way.
Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans have farmers yielding out an additional 2.7 bushels per acre over A-Series. This has everyone talking, not just farmers. Case in point, a trucking company wrote, "Morning, noon, and night, it doesn't matter. I'm hauling Z-Series. The phone doesn't stop ringing. Even my home number, it never stops ringing." Well, it's fair to say Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans are making quite an impact. Unleash your greatest harvest yet at pioneer.com/new era.
Zippy Duval is the president of the American Farm Bureau Federation. He, along with other state presidents from around the country, made a visit to World Dairy Expo this week, where he tells us he's monitoring the federal milk marketing order reform process and says there's a lot of possibilities.
Well, you know, we've got a lot of wins in this, but we also were disappointed in a few areas. You know, really and truly, we're proud of the process. It really got this process started several years ago, and we called all the dairy industry together in the Midwest, and from dairymen to co-ops to all the people that was involved in it, and says, you know, we really need to do something. And then coming out of that, we had the federal milk order hearings, and that lasted weeks and weeks on weeks, and now we're going through the rules and the rules that are being released from it. So we've had some wins in it. We was glad to see what has happened, but there are some areas we wish we could go a little bit further.
Zippy Duval, president of the American Farm Bureau Federation, visiting with us at World Dairy Expo. He is a dairyman himself. He said he grew up milking Holsteins in Georgia and always wanted to make a trip to World Dairy Expo. Now, he said he and his wife are actually back in dairying. They're milking two Jersey cows at home.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
Yesterday, the barrel cheese gained 0.75 cents to 2.15 1/4. 40-pound block cheese dropped 5 1/4 to 2.02 3/4, while AA butter dropped 7 to 2.68 a pound. This morning, the November Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, it's up a penny, 22.30 to 100 weight. December corn's down a penny at 4.31. November beans down 8.5 right now at 10.47. And December wheat's down 3.5 at 6.11. There's your market update. I'm PM Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 73 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly clear, 44. Tomorrow, sunshine, 71 on Saturday. Summertime returns with sunshine and a high near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality certified pros at Angie.com.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we'll discuss the new film Closure, the story of the closing of our two-year campuses, and also look ahead to a visit from Vice President Harris next time.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
All right, we're back at 6:34 here on Up North News Radio, joined as we are each week at this time by Joseph Pecky. Joe, hello. How are you doing this week?
I'm good.
You are. You sound like a, you have the sound of a man who's been doing, you know, some math. You work a lot with words and messaging, but sometimes we have to expose ourselves to the numbers. And of course, I'm alluding to the newest Marquette poll. But you're feeling happy about numbers these days.
Well, I'm polling is an imperfect science, mm-hmm. and it has been demonstrated over and over again. One of my favorite things I've read in the last couple of weeks that it was a report called "Lost in a Gallop," as in the Gallup poll, not yep.
The
pace of a horse.
Yep.
That basically presidential polling is always wrong. It's never wrong in quite the same way, election year over election year, but it's always wrong. And so I just take all of this stuff with a truckload of salt. Kamala Harris is running as the underdog, as she should be. And we've got 30-odd days left here to run through the tape. But when you look at the Marquette poll from yesterday, it underscores the challenge that Donald Trump and Eric Hovde and Republicans face, and the opportunity for Harris and Baldwin. And that is, quite simply, more women vote than men, and the Democrats are running further ahead among women than the Republicans are among men. And that just doesn't math. When you have a 26-point gender gap in the presidential contest and a 29-point gender gap in the Senate contest, it's pretty clear why. Donald Trump is responsible for overturning Roe v. Wade, and these Trump abortion bans are top of mind for a lot of voters, not just women, but certainly women. And Republicans don't have a good answer when it comes to what to do about ensuring women can make their own choices and get access to the reproductive health care they need when they need it.
Well, because they don't care. They don't care about that answer, or they would have offered something more substantive by now. And I don't like that the polling term is called enthusiasm gap. It's not that women and their allies are necessarily enthused. They're still angry. They're still upset. But even beyond that, I don't want to make this just about emotions. They're mission driven. They know mm-hmm. there is only one way forward, and that's through the voting booth. Whereas, you know, of course there are Trump supporters who are enthusiastic as well, but for them it's not so much a mission. They're either going to feel like voting or they're not. The people upset about Dobbs, they're voting. End of story.
Yeah. And so, you know, you would rather be Kamala Harris today, and you would rather be Tammy Baldwin today, and they're both running like they're underdogs that they are. And if those are candidates you support, keep up the good work. You got to run through the tape. We cannot afford for a polling error to be the reason that we took our foot off the gas in the closing weeks of this race. And by the way, fun fact: about 100,000 Wisconsinites have already voted. Their mail ballots have been returned. So if you're among those first 100,000. You got nothing but time to go and talk to others about why they should support Tammy Baldwin and Kamala Harris if you're on the blue team.
There you go. Here's an interesting wrinkle that came up in all of this. We have, of course, seen people who worked for or alongside Donald Trump now come and endorse Kamala Harris because, of course, they know him best and they know that he should not be back in office. Then there are plenty of other, you know, run-of-the-mill Republicans who've been like, yeah, I'm tired of Trump too. But the one yesterday, the one that really got me of a conservative endorsing the liberal was the Wisconsin Farm Bureau. Not the Wisconsin Farmers Union, which tends to support progressives, but the Farm Bureau, which they haven't supported a Democrat in a statewide race in over
more
20
than
20 years. Yeah, and again, they didn't have to endorse Tammy Baldwin. They could have just said, well, we see merit in both candidates, and we're going to sit this one out. The Farm Bureau chose to say to Eric Hovde, you are not only not worthy of our endorsement, we're picking your opponent.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an incredible testament to Tammy Baldwin and the work she does to represent all of Wisconsin. And people, you know, Tammy's sort of the model nationally when Democrats want to figure out how to campaign and do well in rural communities and these farming towns, they go and talk to Tammy. And the answer is simple. She basically says, listen more than you talk. Show up, be there, and then fight for folks back in Washington, D.C. And that's what she's done. So I'm not surprised by much in campaigns these days. I was genuinely surprised by the Farm Bureau endorsement. Well-earned and, you know, well-deserved and still surprising. And so, you know, good on you, Senator Baldwin, and maybe better luck next time, Mr. Hovde.
or Mr. Michaels, or whichever wealthy business person is going to run next for, you know, the big thing in office. All right. Well, that takes us now to some of the moves in the larger presidential race. We know that Donald Trump has been in Wisconsin a couple of times. He's coming back to Wisconsin. Kamala Harris coming back to Wisconsin.
Why do you think she's going to Ripon, Wisconsin?
Gee, I don't know. What you're the strategist here. What's your take?
What's Ripon known for?
Aren't they the birthplace of the Republican Party?
That is the Ripon in question.
And so okay. She ain't going for the cookies.
I have no inside information here. I am noting with interest that it has been announced that Vice President Harris will campaign in Ripon, Wisconsin, and I will just use this occasion to remind people that the Kamala Harris-Tim Walz coalition is so wide that it includes both Bernie Sanders and Dick Cheney. There's a lot of room in between those two gentlemen, and if you're one of the Americans who find yourself somewhere between those two polar opposites, there's room for you in the Harris-Walz coalition too, and maybe some additional, you know, surprising names will be lending their support to Kamala Harris in the closing weeks of this campaign.
Oh, I can completely see that. All right. Well, we've seen the vice presidential debate. We've seen the past presidential debates. Before I ask
you, what'd you make of the Tuesday night fight there?
All right. Well, we'll start with
the nice fight
as well. what I've said before is that, you know, you don't want to, if you're going to start watching these things, stick around till the end. You don't want to miss any big twist. And it wasn't like a big reveal, but it was a big tell that at the very end, where after J.D. Vance was trying to be all Midwestern nice and everything, and in some ways succeeded, but at the very end, still couldn't answer the basic question, did Donald Trump lose the 2020 election? And it's right there. It's right there to accept it and to move on. And
it's
even
so
say,
easy.
I understand why Donald Trump feels that way, but I don't feel that way. And he couldn't do it.
He couldn't even give the ridiculous answer that has been a little better when they're like, well, Donald Trump is not the president right now. Joe Biden is. And we're running against it. Right? So terrible moment for J.D. Vance. Really gives away the game. And I thought kind of determined the outcome of the debate. You know, to use football metaphors, because Coach Walz didn't use as many of them as I thought he would. Uh-huh. It struck me as a debate that was kind of played between the 40-yard lines. There weren't really big, you know, scoring plays. There weren't big moments until in the last, like, you know, after the 2-minute warning, Vance throws an interception and then, you know, Walz runs it all the way back for a score. Because that there was just not a lot within the first 87 or 88 minutes of the debate. Both guys were fine. They hit their marks. Like, they had some bad moments, they had some better moments, but at the end, that was the ball game, right? And sometimes, yeah, you know, you got to play all the way till it reads zero on the clock. I think J.D. Vance forgot that.
He did very much so. And again, just could not. That's one of those things you should have anticipated. Now, to be fair, Tim Walz,
well, he lied about everything else. Why doesn't he lie about that?
Right.
Why isn't he
right.
lying? Just say, yeah, he lost it. And then tomorrow go out and say the next. It's the biggest audience he's going to have. It's just, yeah, it's astonishing. Sorry,
now,
I get carried away about this.
No. While we're talking debates, we know that up in the 8th CD last week, Kristen Lierley had a debate with a Republican, Tony Weed. Why are we still not seeing one in the 3rd Congressional District with Mr. Van Orden and Democrat Becca Cook? What's he doing? Oh, wait, he didn't debate at all last time.
Yeah, apparently the congressman can't hack it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, man. It's pretty beta, if you ask me. Like, Rebecca Cook is a good candidate and a leader on a lot of issues I care about. and I think she'd make a really good member of Congress. But this is not the most physically intimidating person I've ever seen in my life. And the notion that a former Navy SEAL who paints himself as a tough guy can't stand on a stage across from Rebecca Cook and answer questions about the challenges facing this country, about the opportunities that lie ahead for Western Wisconsin when it comes to revitalizing manufacturing or rebuilding infrastructure or transitioning to, you know, thousands of clean energy jobs. He can't stand on a stage. He doesn't want to stand on a stage and bellow about the border for a little while.
Here's the one thing he knows. He knows imagery. 2 years ago, it was all about being the kindly grandpa next door working on his motorcycle. This time around, he's looking tough, walking with a bunch of law enforcement officers and their uniforms and their badges and everything that I'm not particularly fond of in commercials like that, talking all about the border, and how tough he is. But if he's got a chance to prove it in a debate, to take actual questions, insert chicken noises.
I literally had this conversation with some of our football players, one of our young lower-level teams in the last couple of weeks. Being tough doesn't come from something you say. It is not the words out of your mouth. It's not how you look. It's what you do. And Derek Van Orden is giving away the game here. And part of that is, I think Washington, D.C. has genuinely changed him. In just 2 years, he's gone from that kindly old grandfatherly fella to somebody who he has his staff wipe his bike down for him.
Oh, I saw that.
How Washington you gonna go, man? Like, what are we doing? You can't take the 2 seconds it takes to wipe your own bike off after a little rain shower? I mean, it's wimpy, it's beta, it's crazy that this guy thinks he can position himself as a tough guy and behave like this and operate like this. And I frankly think the people of Western Wisconsin are going to see through it, because they got to ask themselves, well, if he looks like one way in the commercial, why won't he debate Becca Cook? What is there to hide here? I don't get it.
Well, the thing to hide would be, you know, positions on issues that actually matter to the families in his district. And that's where I'll wrap up, because your work with Protect Our Care often, you know, includes talks with elected officials, but also from, you know, regular folks around Wisconsin. And there was an event this week that was tied in with the vice presidential debate that again pointed out there are clear differences on health care between J.D. Vance's running mate and Tim Walz's running mate. So in 60 seconds, how did you sum it up at that event this week?
Yeah, I mean, the answer is after 9 years in public life, Donald Trump will only say he has concepts of a plan, because the plan is deeply unpopular. The plan is to repeal Obamacare. He got close last time. He got close enough to have a party on the lawn of the White House before John McCain, a single vote in the United States Senate, saved Obamacare, saved the protections for millions of Americans against being discriminated against in healthcare for having a pre-existing condition. One vote was what it came down to. And that's still the plan. It's for Trump to do away with it. His Project 2025 calls for slashing Medicare and Medicaid. And we know that Republicans on Capitol Hill want to wind back all of the progress we've made on prescription drug pricing under Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And they would rather talk about basically anything than that. And so that was on display Tuesday night. We had a little conversation about it Tuesday afternoon. And I think in the closing weeks of this race, you're going to see healthcare really emerge as a top issue for folks as they look at the differences between these two campaigns.
When you mentioned John McCain turning his thumb down, that part of Hamilton where Hamilton is asked to choose between Jefferson or Burr, and he says, "I have never agreed with Jefferson once. We have fought on like 75 different fronts. But when all is said and done, Jefferson has beliefs, Burr has none." And that's exactly what John McCain was saying about Obama. He has beliefs, but Donald Trump has none. Joe Zepecki, thank you so much as always. Have a great week. We're getting there. Under 5 weeks to go. We're getting there.
Talk soon.
See ya. Today's history lesson is next. You're up north.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Kamala Harris on police.
It is outdated, it is wrong-headed thinking to think that the only way you're going to get communities to be safe is to put more police officers on the street.
Communities safer without police?
Oh, but there's more.
For far too long, the status quo thinking has been to believe that by putting more police on the street, you're going to have more safety. And that's just wrong.
Catch that? Kamala Harris is a defund the police Democrat. And Rebecca Cook, she fits right in. She's made a career out of it. A professional political operative trusted to elect anti-law enforcement politicians across the country. Rebecca Cook even led a dark money group that supported Mandela Barnes and his defund the police agenda. That's why the Liberal Democrats handpicked her. Now Cook is bankrolled by the liberal elite to help win back the House. They trust her because Rebecca Cook is a defund the police Democrat.
I'm Derek Van Orden, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the NRCC and Van Orden for Congress.
People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you? WIS Caregiver Careers can get you started as a certified direct care professional. You'll learn the skills you need to make life better for older adults or people with a disability. All training is free and online, plus earn $500 in bonuses. Start your new career. Sign up today at WISCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX. Lacrosse is home for Matt Nair on Air.
Let's twist again. Wait a minute. Is this a sequel? I guess sequels were a thing for Chubby Checker, who turns 83 years old today.
Oh, he's still alive?
Yes, he is.
Oh, yep. My gosh. I thought, for some reason, I thought, yeah. And that's no disrespect to Mr. Checker.
No. Mr. Checker, born Ernest Evans in South Carolina, raised in Philly, gave us the twist, and then went back to the well for some more.
Oh.
And then went back to the well for some more with the peppermint twist.
I think if you research, you're going to find that Chubby Checker's song, his discography, is deep within the twist economy.
Well, who did we have yesterday or the day before? Beach Boys. And how many songs had surfing in the title?
Just
so
ridiculous.
You know, when it works, it works. So happy birthday to Chubby Checker. On this day in 2003, School of Rock opened in theaters.
My screen just went weird. Okay, here we go.
What? If you haven't heard Greg chastise me in a while, I'd probably even make up a middle name for me. Give a listen here as I inform Mr. Bach. School of Rock opened this day starring Jack Black as a musician, posing as a substitute teacher who forms a band with the students. Again, 21 years ago today that movie opened. In 21 years, I have yet to see this movie.
Oh, Pat, join the club. Yes. I've never seen it either.
You shut your face. What?
Never saw it.
You.
Yeah.
You.
Why? Why do I have to see it?
I don't know. You strike me as somebody that's seen it like, 50 times.
Never seen it once.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
It's one of those things. It's another one of those examples of, it's not a movie where I was like, no, or I love Jack Black. It's just one of those movies where I didn't see it then, and then it just kind of faded off for me. I know people love it. But I also know that just like, maybe I'll watch it someday, and maybe I won't, but I'm okay.
Well, yeah, so we're twinsies on this one.
Yeah.
All right, well, hey, you can yell at both of us if you like, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC, or comment on social media, and tell us we're right or wrong.
Also, please don't yell at me. Some guy just yelled at me before, so please don't yell at me.
Well, he was yelling at you about me, so thanks for taking that bullet.
We're all just disgusting, boring, sports-loving liberals.
Oh, God, we're back to sports-loving liberals. All right. On this day in 1992, Sinead O'Connor appeared on Saturday Night Live, ended her cover of the Bob Marley song War, tore up a picture of Pope John Paul II, and declared, "Fight the real enemy," before walking off stage and into a controversy that followed her through and to her death just over a year ago at the age of 56. Born this day in 1938, Eddie Cochran, born in Albert Lea, Minnesota. Eddie Cochran, this was his 1958 hit. He experimented with multi-track recording, distortion techniques, and overdubbing far ahead of others during his, sadly, shortened lifetime. He died in a car crash while on tour in England at the age of 21. But he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1987 for his pioneering rockabilly influence. 37 years after its release, on this day in 2014, Fleetwood Mac's Rumours album is certified double diamond for sales of over 20 million in the U.S. It's the ninth album to achieve that certification. Today also happens to be the 75th birthday of a member of Fleetwood Mac, Lindsey Buckingham. Secondhand News was one of the songs that he wrote for Rumors, that blockbuster album. Today on the National Day calendar, this is Mean Girls Day, because apparently there's a scene in there that says on October 3rd, he asked me what day it was, and I recalled it's October 3rd. And I'm really not conveying it well, having never seen the movie. And there's only one other thing on the National Day calendar. Today is allegedly National Boyfriend Day. Which is not true. When is National Boyfriend Day? Same as National Girlfriend Day. It's Valentine's Day. What do you need a boyfriend day for?
All right, calm down. My goodness.
Just saying, there's only one other thing on there and it's boring. Maybe it's because I'm putting off the confession that I'm about to make to Greg and to everybody else.
That
and
you've
to
do never it, listened gonna... to the Rumours album?
No. I've worn that thing out. Yesterday, we told you that it was Jack Wagner's birthday, that he'd turned 65. Well, I have a confession to make, so let's bring Jack Wagner up with this soap opera star's one top 40 hit.
Okay, I'm just putting some info in there. There we go. Get rid of that. Goodbye, Lindsey Buckingham, for a moment, and boom.
Come on, Jack. There we go.
Oh, God, this song.
Yeah. I'm putting this up to punish me. Because I remember yesterday I said that there were so many birthdays. I'd never had so many birthdays on one day.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how I did this, but I combined October 2nd and 3rd yesterday. So here's a list of all the birthdays that I said were yesterday that are actually today. Today is Jack Wagner's 65th birthday. Today would have been Stevie Ray Vaughan's 70th birthday. Today is Keb Moe's 73rd birthday. Today is Tommy Lee's 62nd birthday. Today is the birthday of Chris Collingworth from Fountains of Wayne. Today is Gwen Stefani's 55th birthday. Kevin Richardson from the Backstreet Boys. India Arie is 49 today. Alan O'Day was born this day from Undercover Angel. And it was on this day that O.J. Simpson was acquitted of murder and that East Germany was officially reunited with West Germany. And then all the things I said yesterday were still true. I just somehow cobbled the two together in a mail merge, I guess. Maybe I'm the guy that sent the duplicate ballots out to all those folks in Madison. I don't know. So, Jack Wagner, accept my apologies. More in our second.
This is the Talk of Lacrosse. Eagle 1490 AM. Dom Selvia.
Next time, Earl Ingram joins me in studio. The fallout from the Jack Smith filing continues, plus Vice President Kamala Harris in Wisconsin. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Matt Nair on Air.
The vice presidential debate. Mike from Kenosha is on the line.
Isn't it the whole purpose of a debate to be on television for the public benefit? The narrative, questions, fact-checking, it's inconsistent at best.
You're absolutely right, Mike. Mainstream media is bailing massively by trying to both sides everything and sane wash everything.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse.